Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Investments. Complicated? Not when you talk to a financial broker about a Zurich investment plan.
The objective is the full reopening of schools. All pupils on campus, all teachers on campus. That's what the Taoiseach Micheál Martin said this morning following a meeting with the Minister for Education, Norma Foley. On Monday, then, we are expecting to see a comprehensive plan with details of the measures and the resources that will be needed to get the schools open safely and in line with public health advice. I'm joined now by Kieran Christie, General Secretary of the Association of Secondary School Teachers, and by Anne Looney, Executive Dean in DC. Institute of Education. Kieran, you've been in the room for negotiations, so I'm hoping that you can fill in some of the blanks, some of the questions that remain to be answered about what shape school might actually take in September, because maybe I'm being pedantic, but the Taoiseach quite notably didn't say all pupils on campus together for a full school day. Is that what is going to happen in September, or will there be staggered learning?
Well, good evening, Philip. The plan on the part of the Department of Education for several months now, the previous minister and the current minister, has been for the full return for full days of students. I suppose the question that's being addressed, and even the Taoiseach's comments reflect this, is that I suppose there's an extent to which nobody's absolutely sure that every student in every school will be back for every minute of every day from September. From an SGL perspective, our objective is to get people back to the maximum possible extent. I want to make that very clear. And there will be some schools, you know, where there will be greater level of resources in terms of space and facilities and so on, where that can be achieved. But there,
okay, but you can confirm absolutely,
in many of your
Kieran,
mind's eye, where that will be a really big challenge.
Okay, you can confirm for us though that the plan, the goal, the objective right now is for a full 5-day week for all children attending for the full school day.
Well, certainly that is what the department have been telling us, and we have been working constructively with them to achieve that in a safe way. What we have been consistently doing for several months now, though, has been saying that it must be in a safe way in every instance. And that's the big question that has to be addressed, and will require very substantial investment, and in some schools, extra space to be procured and so on.
Yeah, I noticed that in your speech to members, you said that the return to work, the return to school, must be entirely safe. Did you mean to use those words? Because nobody can entirely guarantee anybody's safety any longer, can they?
Well, I'm a little bit surprised with your question, Philip, in the sense that I doubt if anybody went back to their workplaces, and not everybody are back at their workplaces, with a suggestion that something will make do and we'll take our chances. That certainly won't be acceptable in education, no more would it be acceptable in RTE or any other workplace, Philip.
No, but my point is that no more than RTE can entirely guarantee my safety coming in here to the studios in Donnybrook, can the Department of Education entirely guarantee the safety of every teacher? That's just not going to be possible, is it?
Well, let's be clear. There has been something of a social contract in Ireland since the outbreak of this pandemic, in that there has been, and understandably so, great credibility put on the store of the advice that the medical profession has been providing in relation to all aspects of it. And I suppose really what I'm saying is that, there is an implicit view out there that if guidance is followed properly, that people are entirely safe. And it would be in that context that I would be making that statement.
So what then about those teachers whose underlying health conditions are compromised in some way? How do you propose, how does the department propose that they be taken care of?
Well, obviously there is concern in schools as well as any other workplace on the part of people who do have very high risk immunosystems and all the rest of it. And my understanding is that there are discussions taking place between all public departments and deeper in relation to the management of those processes. And we await proposals from them. We expect those to come forward next week.
When somebody does, when a child or indeed a teacher does end up showing symptoms of the virus, is it still proposed that they be taken away to an isolation room and that their parents come and collect them?
Well, that will be in the guidance again that's going to be presented next week. And again,
so you didn't agree upon that with the minister, no?
Well, obviously, you know, you do what you can when an incident arises and immediate action has to be taken. And protocols will be put in place within schools to deal with that.
And have you any idea what those protocols might be? Because I'm thinking, you know, where a child develops symptoms during the course of the school day, what happens in that class? Do you continue teaching or do all the children get sent home until it's confirmed that that child is negative?
No, schools will be provided with clear guidance as to what precisely to do from A to Z in circumstances the likes of which you've just described. Obviously,
but that hasn't been worked out yet.
That will all happen in the blink of an eyelid, and there needs to be a policy very clearly enunciated and available so that everybody immediately knows what to do in the circumstances of the building in which they're in. And, you know, no more than when any other medical occurrence happens, the safety plan immediately kicks in and the policy immediately kicks in.
But with 4 weeks to go, I would have thought at this stage that you would have been seeking assurance on, you know, the poor teacher who finds themselves going back into a classroom of 30 pupils when one of them has been taken away and sick, that hasn't yet been worked out, no?
No, well, of course we have been making our representations about how precisely all of that will transact in the circumstances in which it will. And we await documentation from the department next week, and we hope that they have taken on board the kind of protocols that we've been arguing for. This is going to require considerable resourcing in schools across that in relation to that issue, but also in relation to, you know, management of absences. Many a teacher over the years, including myself, have attended school, you know, waking up with a bit of a cold in your head or whatever, and you've gone in. You won't be doing that next year. So the whole area of the management of absences on top of you know, what you've narrowed it down to a very small aspect, a very important one, but a small aspect of what would be a very large picture and policy within school in relation to all these matters will have to be very carefully put in place.
With so much to be done in the 4 weeks before the school term is supposed to begin, are you happy or are your members happy to return to work now and to begin that job?
Well, we've always said that we will be guided entirely by the health advice that's provided. And what I will make clear is that in each and every school, our members will be in attendance, provided that the health advice that's available is being followed to the letter of the law. And, you know, that because in the interest of the teachers and the students and the entire school community, nearly won't do. This will have to be very carefully worked out. Every school is different, so every school will have to take the guidelines that are going to be issued by the department and adapt them to the particular circumstances that pertain in their buildings and in their school communities.
Okay. Kieran Christie, do stay with us, please. But we also have on the line Anne Looney, the Executive Dean in DCU Institute of Education. And $42 million announced yesterday for post-primary. Do you think that that's going to be enough when it's divided out amongst all the schools?
Hi, Philip, and hello, Kieran, as well. It sounds like a lot of money. There are 770 post-primary schools in the system. When you divide 42 million, it sounds like there's plenty there. But is that money to cover school transport? Is it to cover what Kieran mentioned, additional rooms? Because some of our schools are in quite old buildings, so they will need additional space. Is that money to cover additional substitution cover when that's needed. I think we're waiting to see the plan when it arrives next week.
Additional toilets, additional plumbing. Kieran, sorry, go on.
I understand that the type of works may involve reconfiguration of classroom space, repurposing rooms to provide additional space, adapting storage facilities, altering desk layouts, adapting toilets.
So it's a capital spend, if you like.
Nothing to do with substitution, nothing to do with... Like, there's a considerable amount of extra money that will have to be found for the other issues that Anne raised there.
Okay. What other resource issues come to mind, Anne?
Well, for young people and children going back to school, I think they deserve some pre-return support. For example, they need to be reassured that their schools are safe and clean. They need to be reassured that their schools are COVID-free. And actually, we know already from listening to teachers and principals that there are children suffering from quite an amount of anxiety thinking about going back to school. They've been out for 6 months. It's an unprecedented gap in the educational provision for children in Ireland. And they will need some pre-return support. So an information campaign targeted at children and young people, radio and television ads, letting them know what to expect when they go back. Will their teachers be in face coverings for face masks, for example? What are the hand washing arrangements? What do they have to do in terms of hand washing, etc.? And I mean that from our very youngest children right up. I think those.
And that's
are
not going to be
provide.
Now an additional cost, an additional back to school cost, is it? Because there's to be a centralised fund for procuring whatever PPE is required, whatever hand sanitisation and so on.
Yeah, well, I think that's a welcome development. I chair a school board of management, and the thoughts of running around supermarkets trying to get hand sanitizers is not something that I'd be looking forward to. So the centralised purchasing, I think, would be really important.
Well, but actually, I should probably get confirmation on that from Kieran. Do you understand that to be the case, Kieran?
Well, I've even some others may have looked at it on the government procurement website. There was a procurement some weeks ago now, tender put out, if that's the correct phraseology, and we have been assured that there will be no shortage of PPE and sanitisation facilities available to schools once they return.
Because obviously it makes a hell of a lot more sense for this to be bought centrally than school secretaries running around getting fleeced by opportunists.
Yeah, well, we pushed hard for that approach, and it has been, it is in train, as I understand it.
Sorry, Anne, I interrupted you.
No, not at all. I was talking about the return from the children's perspective, and I think a second issue that arises for them are the gap. So children will have been away from school for 6 months. There's a thing called the summer dip, which if you're a sheep farmer is one thing, but if you're a teacher, you know it is that children regress often in literacy and numeracy during the holidays, and now they've had 6 months off. And that gap will be different for different groups of students. So if you come from a home maybe with challenging circumstances, actually your educational progress could have been quite significantly affected by that extended period away from school. So there's a bit of work to be done by teachers and schools in the first months coming back to help children to recover from that gap, as well as supporting them emotionally to get back into the into the routine of schools. And we know that the fifth year is going into sixth year, the sixth classes going into first year, and the new junior infants have a particular challenge.
Indeed. Different kind of gap, Kieran's last point that I want to raise with you. The difference between 2 metre social distancing and 1 metre social distancing. Is 2 metres practicable in a school setting? And indeed, on the other hand, do you think your members are comfortable now with the idea of a possible 1 metre distancing?
Well, the health advice that was issued some weeks ago provides for a 1 metre social distancing between students and 1 to 2 metres between students and teachers. And that's the health advice we've been provided with now. It was published a few weeks ago. And we have to be guided by the health advice. We can't become our own health advisors. But certainly, there will be circumstances in some schools, you know, where PPE must be available and must be used. And again, that all needs to be worked out in terms of the guidance that's going to be provided.
Kieran Christie, General Secretary of ASTI, and Anne Looney from DCU as well. Thank you both very much.